Phoenix, Arizona. I'm a naturopathic medical student at Southwest College.
You are at the college there that's also producing all the provings?
No, that's a different one. They did one, I think, but I'm at the naturopathic school with Dr. Messer.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Messer. And then I also study privately with Andre Thain.
Okay, and naturopathic school is probably what I have done myself. So it's not just homeopathy, it's herbal medicine, it's iridology also?
We didn't learn too much of it, but we've gotten a little bit, but not a whole lot anymore.
Okay, and what you currently like most?
Homeopathy by far.
Okay. That wasn't my case. I started with herbal medicine, and then my appetite for homeopathy started a little bit later.
Yeah, I read that on your webpage.
Okay. Actually, the webpage is completely changing, starting probably tomorrow.
Really?
So just have a look at it. There will be a lot more information about Repertorio Universale, what we are going to discuss today.
I read the article. Who was it by Wendy?
Yeah.
That was nice, huh? Yeah,
uh-huh,
it was good.
Yeah. She's very good in writing. I would never be able to do it myself that way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she's very good. Kim, already there? Because Kim is going to answer the questions. No, he's going to put the questions. I'm going to answer them.
Yeah, he should be up soon.
Yeah, should be. It's, I have 7 o'clock at night now here.
It's 10 o'clock in the morning here for us.
Oh, so that means you have Pacific time already, Phoenix.
Yeah, it just changed yesterday. They did daylight savings yesterday.
Correct, yes, the 4th of April, I saw that. Because I was wondering whether or not I should have 8 or 9 hours difference. But it's again 9 hours now.
Yeah.
Actually, I thought Phoenix, since it's a little bit more inland, would have a different time schedule.
Well, we don't participate in daylight savings, and so half of the year we are on the mountain time, and half the year we're with the we're on Pacific time.
Okay, so you call mountain time is what is, let's say, natural time.
Yeah, just a different time zone.
Okay, now I know where you are from, when you call it mountain time, then we are.
Yeah, kind of Colorado, Utah area.
Yeah.
Where do you live?
Hello?
Yeah. I was just wondering, where are you calling from?
I am calling from The Hague now, in
Holland. Oh, okay.
Because that's
And is it cold there?
No. Don't have a wrong idea about Holland. It's actually not so cold at all. Today was beautiful weather, about 16, 17 degrees Celsius. And, normally, you know, the whole idea about Holland and being a cold country with a lot of snow in the winter, et cetera, that's just from the old paintings.
Oh.
Because normally we don't have that. We, for example, last year maybe we had one total week added up, everything freezing, and I think we had a little bit of snow around Christmas and early in November, and that's it.
Wow. So it's dry there also?
Yeah, last summer we had the best summer in 200 or 300 years, and it's getting warmer every year a little bit. You can actually notice that.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's not so bad. It's not like Phoenix, but it's not bad at all.
I don't know if I would say Phoenix has nice summers though.
Well, doesn't it have a nice climate?
Well, in the summertime though, it can get as high as 115 degrees Fahrenheit.
Uh huh.
It's beautiful now. 80s
that's,
now. This is the perfect time of
much.
Year.
That's too much. You can probably fry an egg on the...
Yeah, it gets pretty hot.
Yeah. No, that would be too much. But it's dry heat, huh? So that's actually not so bad.
Yes, this is true.
Yeah.
So is homeopathy in Holland, pretty much, it's very established and, you know, pretty much people use it as a primary practitioner?
Yeah, I think since the early teachings of Vitulkas, which is actually already nearly 25 years ago, it grew a lot, and right now I think that the average level is quite high. There are not so many people who really practice full time, but the average level is quite high. And you can say the same in for England, for Germany, for Switzerland, Austria, maybe Norwegian also. So it's not bad. Kim, are you already there?
I am there, Roger. This is Annika.
Hey, Annika, how are you?
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you. We are waiting for Kim. Kim is going to give me the questions, but he's not.
Oh, here. Okay. Well, you know, it's daylight savings time. I'm wondering if he is aware of that.
No, I had a discussion with his, I don't know who she is. I think it's his secretary, Laura Guerra.
Yeah, yeah.
And I asked her about this, actually, so they should be aware of it.
Okay.
Because I am even. I know that from yesterday on today you changed, huh?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Should be
well,
okay.
He should be coming on fairly soon.
Yeah. Who's this here coming? I heard another beep, means another person.
Yes, this is Monique Meunier.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
I'm Roger.
Roger, this is Monique Meunier.
You're welcome to listen in. We are waiting for Kim currently.
Okay.
Because actually, well, I know what to talk about, but he was going to kind of model it into some nice questions.
Great.
Well, do you want to go ahead and get started? With something specific?
Yeah, that's the plan. I mean, the whole discussion for now is that there is a lot of confusion about my new repertory and the way it is actually constructed, the way the hierarchies are different than when you compare it with a strictly Kantian repertory, etc. So there's a lot of things. There are a lot of things that I need to explain more properly,
uh-huh.
and so that's what this hour is for, actually.
Okay.
And I hope that people will have some questions.
Can I call Kim?
Sorry?
Do you want me to try to call Kim?
You can do that. I don't have his number here at hand.
His number. I can try to call him if you'd like me to.
Yeah, have a try if you want, please, because that's not as it should be.
Yeah, let me go get his.
Thank you. Yeah. So, Annika, we need to see how we can usefully fill up this hour with some more background information about how to use the work and in what perspective you need to see it, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, and we also kind of want to take the opportunity to tell people that you will be in May to spend 2 days explaining that, huh?
Yeah, and furthermore, but there are not so many people listening yet. Furthermore, I think starting tomorrow, the whole website will be updated also with the Repertorio Universale material, with some case examples, et cetera, et cetera.
Your
so
website.
That would be a good initial preparation for
and
people.
And what is your website?
One W more, of course.
Yeah.
Morphologica, morphologica.com. Morphologica.com.
I will go ahead and send an email around about that.
Yeah, that's good. And there people can find some initial information that they at least need to wonder about before they ask anything more. That would be good. Because what I notice is that I'm obviously, it's not my invention, this work. It's an invention done by Bernhausen, but I'm obviously going into a terrain that is totally unknown to people because of all the chemical education. Hello? Who just came in here?
What is on your website?
Well, it's just changing. Now the emphasis is mostly on Repertorio Universale, the new repertory with the new structure and hierarchy, explanation about that, some case examples, a little bit of information about my work in general.
Mm-hmm. Sort of what we were going to cover today also, so that if we had questions, we could go there.
Not in total. You know, the whole problem with what I have done in the last year or last year's, is that it's a way of
Hello, everybody.
Hey. Hello. Ah,
hey,
there.
Kim.
Sorry about that. I was not instructed that it was daylight savings until
yeah,
just now.
I just found
oh. Actually, Kim, I had a discussion with Laura about this. So.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. I was just informed now that it was 10 o'clock, so I thought it was 9
okay.
o'clock.
Okay, but how's, there you are.
Yeah, how's everybody doing?
I'm fine.
Good.
Well, hello to everybody.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Okay, so I'm going to mute everybody out, and I'll start the formal interview. And again, I apologize for my late appearance here. So hold on 1 second. So, Roger, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us this morning.
Today was a quiet day till now, so that's good.
Okay, all righty. And so let me just give you a quick introduction. Roger Van Zandvoort has been one of the great repertorial scholars who's been developing repertories for quite a number of years now, actually since the 1990s. And he's a real preeminent researcher in the area of homeopathy. He knows a tremendous amount about repertories and the history of repertories. And, of course, he's the creator and the developer of the Complete Repertory, which now has a number of different versions. Used to be the Complete 4.5, and then he went to the Complete Millennium, and now he's got two repertories, which are called the Complete 2003 and also the Complete Universala. He's an excellent teacher, an excellent spokesperson for homeopathy, extremely knowledgeable. So welcome, and thank you so much for being on this call. Roger, I thought perhaps I could just start by asking you about the differences between the Complete Repertory 2003 and the Repertory Universala. I know you have a new grading system that you're using in these repertories, and I thought perhaps you could explain a little bit to us about that and also contrast it to what you were doing in the previous version of the Complete, which was called the Complete Millennium.
Okay. Yeah, Complete Millennium, to start with, the oldest work is a strict, let's say, strict continuation of Kent's repertory, just with much more information inside that has been collected by me in the last 20 years. But after Millennium, I came to the idea of making a new kind of repertory in which other kind of rubrics can be found, that are rubrics that need a different kind of methodology to repertorize with. And this methodology was developed earlier than Kent's methodology by Bönninghausen. But it's not well known because the influence of Kent has been so strong in the last 100 years. But nevertheless, it's a very interesting methodology. And now that I have Repertory Universale that is based on this methodology, which simply includes all the Kantian methodology and also the Kantian rubrics, I think that this is the way to go for homeopathy. And there are various reasons that I say this, actually. Now, the big difference between Repertory Universale and also the later versions of the Complete Repertory 2003 and in German 2002, were just simply indicating the further development of the Complete Repertory in itself. The big difference is once you open a section in Repertory Universale, the section division is the same as the Kantian sectional division. So you start with mind and then you follow up with vertigo, etc. But once you open every section, you see immediately that there is a different sequence and organization of the rubric. And the big difference is that when you see a Kantian repertory, then for the main rubrics, there is simply an alphabetical order, and the type of rubric, so to speak, is all the same. They are sensations, as if, to be more correct, I think you should call them phenomena. Simply a phenomenon can be something subjective that you observe or something objective. Subjective would be sensations, as if. And objective would, for example, be something like swelling or discoloration blue, or some things like that. So in a Kantian repertory, you have an alphabetical structure of the main rubrics based on phenomena, sensations, and objective symbols. But if you open Repertorio Universale and you would open the mind section, for example, then what you see is an organization of rubrics that is the same as the organization of the rubrics you find in a Kantian repertory in the subrubrics, which means that you have sites, you have times, and they are all grouped and then followed up by modalities and then later on followed up eventually by locations. And then only in the end you have a group, again, that is phenomena. As an example, it's good to have, for example, the main rubric head pain in your mind. If you look at the subrubrics, then you meet all these different blocks that are possible in a Kantian repertory. And to emphasize on the new style, the new type of rubrics that you also use in a Bönninghausen methodology, what I did was I transferred that block structure that you find in Kant subrubrics also to the level of the main rubric. So if you open the mind now, what you could see, as an example, in the beginning of that sequence of main rubrics, you could see a rubric mind, time, morning. And in that rubric would be included those remedies that we know have a morning aggravation for mental emotional symptoms. And it doesn't matter in this case which exact mental emotional symptoms those are. It's just a rubric that says, here, mind, morning, we include all the remedies that we know of have mental emotional aggravation in the morning. And there can be another one that would be mind, evening, ameliorates. And that simply means that there you find all the remedies that we know from the mind that have an evening amelioration. And then later on, you will see a rubric following up on the block sequence that you know from Kant's repertoire. You would have a rubric that would be mind, anger, aggravates. And there you would find all the remedies that have any mental emotional problems after anger or because of anger, etc., etc. And then in the end, you will find also the phenomena, and there you would find, for example, mind, anxiety, mind, irritability, etc., etc. So that's the main difference on the main rubric level between complete repertory on one side as being a Kantian repertory and Repertorio Universale being a universal repertory. And what I mean with universal is not that you can use it on Mars or on Pluto, but simply that it includes as many different methodologies in repertorization and the rubrics that you want to use with that as possible, to make it a tool in which all these different methodologies are included. Would that be a sufficient answer?
Yeah, that's very good. Maybe you could just be a little bit clarify just a little bit the changes in the main rubric sequences and divisions in the Repertorio Universalis. Can you just clarify that for us a little bit, why you made those changes?
Well, why I made those changes is that if you look at the old Bönninghausen-style repertories, and Bönninghausen made several repertories that in English language we don't know about, but they were very famous in their days in German language, Bönninghausen was the first to start the idea that to already have important information for a remedy, you don't need per se a complete rubric. A complete rubric would exist of a phenomenon and then, for example, a modality and a location. And he even said as a fourth component, you even need a concomitant, so a symptom that is related to the main symptom but appears somewhere else in the body. So Bönninghausen said, if you have four components, then you have a complete symptom. Later, Ken said, well, we can do with three also. So three components make a complete symptom. And the way Bönninghausen worked already in the early 1830s was that he said, well, if you have information enough for a remedy, then you can already say that, for example, chamomilla has various situations in which the common denominator is that they always appear after anger. So chamomilla should be a remedy that is included in a rubric that is simply called mind, anger, comma, after. Because that information for chamomilla is already characteristic enough for chamomilla to put it there. And then later on, you can take these component rubrics, these partial rubrics, because after all, it's not a complete symptom if you just have mind after anger. But you can take these parts and use them in combination with other component rubrics, with other partial rubrics, and then simply create your own complete symptom. The good thing about this is that with just partial information, you can do innumerous amounts of combinations, and therefore, in fact, you will have a bigger repertory, but you need to do some extra work, than when you would only have a repertory that lists all the complete symptoms found in the repertory. But in order to have a quick access to these component rubrics, these partial rubrics, Bönninghausen said already in the early 30s, well, you can make a repertory not just based on phenomena, but based on component rubrics that include a specific characteristic location that represent a specific characteristic modality, etc., for any of the remedies of our materia medica. And that's simply what Kent didn't do. Kent always looked at the complete symptom, like for example, also hearing. So in Bönninghausen, you have a repertory that says mind mourning, that says mind anger aggravates, that says nose sublocation septum, or that says head sublocation vertex. And all these rubrics, they have a certain amount of remedies of which we know that those remedies are characteristic for that specific component. And when you have a repertory with all that kind of information, you could stick to an alphabetical structure or an alphabetical order for the main rubrics, but then you would have it alphabetical, but totally mixed in terms of meaning. And since you know now that you can create your own complete symptoms by taking the proper components, it means that those components that you are going to include, they need to have a different meaning. So there can only be one phenomenon, can only be one or two modalities, can only be one sublocation. And a complete symptom never exists of a combination of three phenomena. That doesn't make a complete symptom in homeopathy. You need to have a modality, you need to have a sublocation to actually indicate and to actually make it a characteristic combination of components. And for that reason, it's very good to have a restructuring of the main rubrics in the section so that you apply what Kent did in the subrubrics to the main rubrics to make it easily recognizable and easily usable when you know, okay, now I need to have for this patient who comes with a symptom that I can't find in a Kentian repertory. If I look at the components, I can easily find the components going through the new block structure in the main rubrics of a certain section, and I find whatever I want. So that's the long answer.
Sure, that's very good. I think this is an important issue, especially because most people here in North America are not trained in the Bönninghausen method at all.
But Kim, no one is. No one is.
No one, worldwide. Is that true? But in Germany, I believe that there's more of a focus on it. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's true, but it's also still a small group. There's a lot of enthusiasm for this approach because people see now, understanding more about homeopathy in general, that with this Bönninghausen methodology, you have many more possibilities of curing a patient because you are virtually unlimited in the amount of complete symptoms that you can create.
Right.
But what we didn't have for a long time was an updated repertory that would also have included all the later provings that happened after Bönninghausen, etc. You cannot just present the new methodology with an old repertory. You need to present this methodology with an updated repertory, and that's what I have done.
Sure. I know that there's been attempts in the past to update the Bönninghausen repertories. You know, I know Alan and Roberts. Could you maybe contrast your work with theirs a little bit?
No, not contrast. It's the same kind of work. Of course, after Alan, many provings have been done. So as much as possible, that information has been included now too. But except for that, Robert's version of the therapeutic pocketbook, which is one of the repertories of Bönninghausen that has been translated into English, and also Alan's version of the therapeutic pocketbook, they include the remedies of their time, be it still not all of the information that we had available, but also the works that I have used that stem from Bönninghausen have been much more extended works. Bönninghausen himself didn't use the therapeutic pocketbook so much. He used two other repertories that are called, they have never been translated, but they would have been called the repertory of the antipsorix and the repertory of the non-antipsoric remedies. And that information has been later on collected by his son. All the personal copies of his father have been brought together. All his handwritten editions, handwritten new rubrics, handwritten upgrades in degree for all the remedies that were already printed there, etc., have been included in one work, and this is a copy of that work, or actually two works, because two books that I was using. I have worked from those copies, so direct also all the practical information that Bönninghausen collected, and that's quite unique. I don't know anyone else at this point who has done this. But it makes for a much bigger work than just an update of the therapeutic pocketbook.
Mm. Roger, just for the clarification of people on the call, because they may not be as familiar with these different books, and could you just maybe just tell us a little bit about, I know when people mention Bönninghausen repertory, oftentimes they're referring to the Bossier-Bönninghausen. Could you just clarify how the Bossier-Bönninghausen repertory relates to the three Bönninghausen repertories you've been talking about so far, how it's different or similar? Or
yeah, but Borger's Bönninghausen repertory means that Cyrus Borger also used the information that he knew from Bönninghausen in the past, and since he also spoke German and could read German, he used more than just the therapeutic pocketbook. So he indeed also used the repertory of the antipsorix and the repertory of the non-antipsorix, but he didn't have to his he couldn't use the repertories that were upgraded by Bönninghausen's son. So he didn't have access to all the practical, the handwritten information that was put into his own personal copies by Bönninghausen. But furthermore, the Borger's Bönninghausen repertory, for example, combined with Ken's repertory, those two books together would be a perfect beginning for people, without too many costs also, to start working and to start understand the Bönninghausen methodology and how to work with it. That would be a very good starting point, actually, because they are relatively complete repertories, be it that for the last 100 years nothing has been added to them. But nevertheless, they have a good amount of information inside that is very useful.
Very good, thank you. You know, I thought perhaps we'd get into some practicalities in terms of actually how we would use, you know, these repertories. And I know one thing that's creates a lot of confusion for people in the community is this idea of crossing rubrics.
Uh-huh.
So maybe you could just clarify, you know, why do we need to do this at all?
Yeah. Well, the first thing, because I have talked to many people meanwhile since the last telephone conversation and since the last introduction that I did about my work till now, I think the first issue for Kantian homeopaths, and that's nearly all of us, is that you need to understand that to apply the Bönninghausen methodology for your patient, you need not to think in complete rubrics, but you need to start thinking in components. And a component is a part of a complete rubric that could also stand on its own. So I give you an example. If you would have mind, irritability, let's say after falling or after bumping your head, then that could well be simply a result of venting some frustration. But it could also be something that comes back repeatedly, et cetera, and then it becomes a unique symptom. And that's, after all, what we are looking for in our patient. Now, the way to go in a Kantian approach would be to see if you can simply find this complete rubric as is in the repertory. So you would go to irritability, then you would go to the sub-rubric, then you would look into the block of the modalities, and you would try to see whether or not you could find, let's say, injury of the head after. And there may be, if it exists, you will find a couple of remedies, probably also arnica, maybe natrium sulfuricum. And so then you would see whether or not these two remedies, or if there are more, whether or not the other ones also fit with some other symptoms of the patient. And you would say, okay, now in this case I will choose arnica. And that's it. But in the Bönninghausen approach, what you would do is you would say, okay, patient has mind, irritability, injuries of the head after, and you would first take apart the complete symptom into the location, would be mind in this event, in this specific symptom. Then you would look at the phenomenon, that would be irritability, and you would look at the specific modality, and that would be injuries of the head after. Then you know you have three components. And then what you're going to do, you are going to look for these three components, and then you need to do this, of course, in a repertory that actually has these three components. And in a Kantian repertory, what you will find is the main rubric of irritability, but you won't find a main rubric that is simply called injuries of the head after. And the only thing you can do, and people do this, is look in the generality section whether or not you can find that. But that would be a slightly different meaning of the rubric, actually. So what you would like to see is a rubric in the mind that would be called simply mind injuries of the head, comma, after. And once you have located the components, then what you do is you synthetically make, or you kind of rebuild the complete symptom of your patient by combining the information from the components and by crossing the remedies found in these component rubrics. So what you look for in terms of remedies is the smallest common denominator, which remedy appears in all two or three components. So which means that which remedy actually covers on its own all the components without knowing actually whether or not, at least from the provings, without knowing from the proving, whether or not we know this remedy already in the exact setting, in the exact complete symptom that we can synthetically create. But that doesn't matter whether or not it's available already in the proving or not, because you work with remedies that for each part are already unique. And that's what Bönninghausen said. Bönninghausen said, well, you can work with components as long as the remedies included there are very characteristic for these components. And if you have very characteristic remedies that are also the smallest common denominator for all their parts, then it's very probable that in the combination that you're making, it's also going to work in practice. So it's good to see in the proving whether or not the information is available, but in many situations, as we know very well from practice, you can't find the exact symptom of your patient in a repertory that is just based on proving information. And you need to improvise. And the best kind of improvisation that you can do is work with components that have characteristic proven remedies inside, but just for that component. And by using the components to recreate the unique symptom of your patient, you create many more possibilities and you look at remedies that normally you wouldn't have thought of, and they will work.
This is very interesting, and I know this is really, when you're talking about this, you're talking about a type of generalization of the modalities and the sensations that you define in the body.
An initial generalization, but the generalization goes further, or let's say is less general than just using all those components that we know in generalities.
Right.
Because that is just one side. In generalities, if you find their, let's say, if you find their anger after, as a modality, a generalized characteristic modality, there you will find remedies in the rubric where the meaning of those remedies is that they have at least three places, different places in the body, where appear symptoms after anger. Because that's the characteristic part in the generalities. The generalization that takes place and the reasoning that you need to follow using the generalized modalities in generalities is that you can only use them as being generalized characteristics when you know that your patient has ailments after anger in the head because has headache, for example, that he or she also has stomach problems, and let's say even pain in their first toe. And if you know that at least at three different locations in the body they have these problems after anger, then you use the generalities rubrics. But if you know that the only thing that appears are mental-emotional symptoms, you can't use that rubric. You need to look in mental, in the mind section, and see whether or not there's a generalized modality for anger comma after, because the remedies found there only apply to the mind. So there is a specification, and that's very important actually in practice, because if you would just use, as we were told by Kent, if you would just use the generalized modalities in generalities for those situations, then your choice of remedies becomes too broad, and there is a lot of possibility that you won't find the proper remedy. You don't find the remedy that is really suitable for that specific situation.
Roger, I'm curious. Is it possible with a Kentian-type repertory to achieve a similar result by, for example, taking all the specific local modalities and combining them together into one larger rubric, which would then become a general modality just for that symptom, rather than, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
is that similar to what you're doing, or will that produce a different type of result?
No. As long as you limit your search enough. So, for example, if you would look in the mind section and you would have a repertorization program, because you're not going to do that by hand.
No.
And you would collect all the remedies found in all the modalities in any of the phenomena that have ailments from injuries of the head, then what you create is a kind of generalized super rubric for that modality that is independent of the specific phenomenon that it was originally found in combination with. And that's exactly what Bönninghausen did. The only thing is he didn't do that just on the repertory. He did it on his practical experience, and he did it on the proving information. But there is not so much difference. The only thing that you need to be careful about is that if you just group all those specific modalities, then also you maybe are going to find the remedy when you group these things that just appears once in the mind somewhere, and that remedy would not be really characteristic enough to generalize. But if you look at chamomilla and you see that chamomilla appears in maybe 20 of these specific modalities, then for sure characteristic for chamomilla is that they have mental-emotional symptoms after anger.
Very interesting.
But that's a way to do it with
right.
a Kantian repertory. But that would, in our daily practice, in our busy daily practice, that would probably involve too much work.
I can see that. You know, Roger, these new repertories, Complete Repertory 2003 and the Repertory Universal are repertories that a lot of people are not yet familiar with.
No.
And I thought maybe just very quickly you could, you know, because I think there are people probably deciding, oh, should I get the 2003? Should I get the Universala? You know, so, you know, it's available in different software programs. I know that it's coming out in book form at some point soon. Maybe you could just kind of give people a sense of, you know, if they're interested in buying these repertories, which one they should purchase, why would they want to get one over the other? You know, just help people out with this type of decision.
Yeah, I would, in fact, from a homeopathic point of view, and you would challenge yourself by doing so, I would always choose Repertory Universale, because Repertory Universale simply includes all the information that people know from Millennium and also from later versions of the Complete Repertory, because all that information is included on the phenomena. But on top of that, you will find all these generalized modalities, generalized locations for every section, updated with all the latest remedies, etc. And since that is the strongest part actually of any of our repertories, I would always suggest people, well, challenge yourself, try to learn something new, and that's the difficult point, because we are very stuck on Kantian methodology, because that's all we have learned in during a long time, many generations of homeopaths. But it doesn't mean it's the best methodology. I dare to challenge anyone to solve a case just Kantian style that you cannot solve also Bernhausen methodology, plus a lot more cases with Bernhausen methodology. So I would always go for Repertory Universale, try to comprehend the new structure, try, do some exercise, find your way around it, and start using something that you have not used before, and that would be working with this component methodology, and see simply from the results that, yes, it works.
Okay, so let me just clarify. You're saying basically that the Universala has everything that's in the 2003, but offers these additional advantages because of this generalization approach, which allows you to basically have remedies and symptoms that otherwise you wouldn't have. One concern I think about this is that people are, as you said, are not familiar with the Bunninghausen approach. Do you have any suggestions on how they can? Because I think there are probably people on here who are going to say, "Wow, you know, this Universal sounds like the way to go." But how will I learn it?
Kim, you need to repeat the question because something happens here now.
Oh, okay.
Basically,
my question was, this sounds very exciting, the work that you're doing with the Universala, and I can immediately see the advantages of the Universala over just a simply Kentian structure like you have in 2003 or other contemporary repertories. But I think that people will be a little afraid to invest in it because they don't know, they haven't been trained in how to use it. Do you have any suggestions on how people could get up to speed with using a repertory like this? Well, what could they do?
We spend a long time for the book version on the introduction that explains also through cases how you should work with a repertory like that.
Okay.
I think starting as of tomorrow, my website will be updated and will have that introduction inside and also the cases.
Okay, good.
Something that is very useful is pick up, if you don't have it, buy it, because it's not very expensive, because it's from Jane Publishers, buy Alan's version of the Therapeutic Pocketbook, and read the long introduction written by Herbert Roberts about Bernhausen methodology. That's excellent material. It's very, very well written. It's long, so you need to sit for it, but you learn so much that it's definitely worth it.
Great.
Those at this point, and of course I'm going to do more seminars, because I think that yes, this is only going to work a little bit more quickly than let's say in a time schedule of at least 5 years when people when people attend seminars and they look in the websites. And I think it's not just the work that I am doing. There's a lot of momentum, especially coming from Germany, all around Bönninghausen methodology. So it's a direction also now that Frederick Sroyens sees the value of, and I think also synthesis will go a little bit in that direction, et cetera. Mm. It's simply because you can cure more people with this.
Sure, sure.
That's the bottom line, really. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, that's the bottom line always, yeah. Okay, we're running close to the point where we should open it up to the general group, though I did want to ask one more quick question just for clarification purposes. I know that there's a lot of times people on these calls who are not so familiar with the terminology. You mentioned the idea of a characteristic, and I thought maybe you could just clarify what do you mean by a general characteristic, just so people...
Yeah. Well, what Bönninghausen meant by a general characteristic. Bönninghausen said if you read through approving, or let's say you read through clinical cases that you have successfully cured for a certain remedy, you will see certain components, certain elements of the information that you're reading through that repeat themselves in a certain remedy. And of course, for example, we know that chamomilla has ailments from anger. We know that lachesis has an aggravation in the morning. We know that lycopodium has an aggravation around 4 o'clock. And around those time modalities and around those general modalities, you can imagine that that kind of approach to our materia medica can bring up a lot more information. And Bönninghausen saw that as the first one. And he said, well, when is something becoming a characteristic for a remedy, which is when you see that around this specific characteristic or around this specific modality or location or time that you are looking for in a remedy, you see that in different situations, in different sensation as if, situations combined with different phenomena seen in different parts of the body, you will see repeatedly, let's take chamomilla as an example, repeatedly, look, there also in the stomach, they have something after anger. They have something in the mind after anger. They have something in extremities after anger. So if you study materia medica in that way, what you see is that what is characteristic for chamomilla is after anger, as such, doesn't even matter so much in which combination with which phenomenon and in combination with which part of the body. It happens so many times, and Bönninghausen said, well, it needs to happen at least 3 times, that when it happens so many times, you are going to call this a characteristic for the remedy. So for chamomilla, a characteristic would be ailments after anger. For lachesis, characteristic would be ailments in the morning. And these characteristics, they appear in generalities when, and this is the rule, when it happens indeed in at least 3 different locations in the body. And the characteristics can also be extended or be imposed on the sections themselves when inside of the sections you still see 3 or more specific situations in which, again, for chamomilla, things happen after anger. So you can say, okay, after anger is a general characteristic for chamomilla and therefore is put in generalities. But if you in the stomach, for example, also see that there are numerous stomach symptoms as being phenomena that also appear after anger, then also chamomilla is a very strong characteristic in stomach itself. So they it's not just very broad and very general when it appears in generalities. You can also have generalized characteristics per section. And that's what you work with. When I talk about reconstructing a unique symptom from their 3 or 4 components, what you do is you pick the components, you pick the characteristic remedies in those components, and you see which of those remedies covers all 3 parts or all 4 parts, all 4 components. And then you have the smallest common denominator, but with a very high probability of successfully curing your case in that specific combination that you make out of the components. Is that clear, Kim?
Yeah, very good. That's an excellent explanation of that. So, let's go ahead and open up to the general audience.
Okay.
Before I do that, though, let me just let people know that Roger Van Zandvoort will be coming to the United States and will be in Tiburon, California. That's right outside of San Francisco on May 15th and May 16th. He'll be doing a weekend seminar called Repertory Universala and Repertory Mysteries. And I've spoken to a number of people who've attended these types of seminars with Roger Van Zandvoort, and I've only heard glowing reviews about
You know more than me.
About these events. But you know what I wanted to say about them is that I've heard that people say that the information wasn't only interesting and inspiring, but that it had practical value terms of their practices. They were actually able to take
this. That is what I heard from Annika, and that's really what you call the...
Yeah, and that's why I think it's so important, you know, because, you know, a lot of theory is fine, and that's very good, and it creates the foundation for us, but when you hear that you can take that information and improve your success in practice, I think that that's what we're all looking for, and it's really the objective of homeopathy. So when I hear things like that, it makes me very excited. And so again, I want to very highly recommend if it's possible for you to go to California and hear Roger Van Zandvoort talk on these subjects. I think you will be very, very happy that you did so. Again, the event is on May 15th and 16th. It'll be in the Bay Area in San Francisco. If anybody wants more information about that, they can contact toll free 877-850-5078. That's 877-850-5078. And again, that's May 15th and 16th in Northern California in the Bay Area. For those of you who are interested in acquiring any of the books that Roger mentioned, like the Allen's Therapeutic Pocketbook, you can do so from Discount Homeopathic Books, and I'll give you the toll-free number for that. It's 866-599-5950, 866-599-5950. If you mention to Allison that you were on this call, I'm sure she'd be happy to give you a discount on any of those titles. Let me go ahead now and open it up to the general audience, and 1 second. So does anybody have any questions or things that they'd like further clarification on? Anybody? Yes, go ahead. I guess you answered all your questions, Roger.
No, I think it's a difficulty in the connection. I hear an interrupted voice here.
Yeah, does anybody have a question they'd like to ask?
I can't hear anybody else there. This is Annika.
Hi, Annika. Did you want to ask a question?
No, I didn't want to ask a question, but I can add a comment as someone who was at the seminar last year that Roger gave, and I have been using in my practice this general theme of making a much bigger rubric that has the phenomenon represented in as many ways as I can find, and I indeed find that my confidence about my repertorizations has increased hugely.
Oh, great, great. Yeah, that's very good to hear. And I did that too because I don't practice. It's not possible to work on repertories and practice at the same time. But what I do normally is to verify what I'm actually trying to do in the repertories is that I have a huge amount of old homeopathic magazines, especially American ones. And from those magazines, I simply take produced clinical cases where I know the results. And then I kind of back engineer the whole situation, and then I definitely see that sometimes you can solve something Kantian style, but at the same time you can nearly always solve the same case Bernhardsen style, and in many cases where you can't find the remedy with the Kantian methodology, you still can find it with the Bernhardsen methodology. So that's very, very clear evidence that this is a bigger way of a bigger road to take in homeopathy today.
Roger, maybe you could tell us a little bit about the structure of the weekend. I mean, do you present cases?
Last time when I was teaching there, the feedback has been that it still was a little bit too theoretical, especially initially. Of course, you need the theory, but what I want to do this time is immediately start presenting cases and confront people with the dilemmas that they have when they use Kantian methodology, and then offer them, out of frustration, offer them the Bönninghausen methodology and take them by the hand, so to speak, and guide them through it, but then by practical cases. And if we are going to have the possibility also the day after, I am going to do some work with people that actually have difficulties with some of their cases in practice. And they want to see from me how this could be solved maybe using Bönninghausen's methodology.
Mm-hmm. Is that going to be on the Sunday or the following Monday?
No,
or
Annika, can you fill me in there when it's going to
hold on, let me open it up for her.
Be in Berkeley in the East Bay. On the day after the seminar.
Yeah, okay. So that would be on Monday, Annika?
Yeah, that is
on
Monday.
Yeah.
And how does that work, Annika? Can you just let people know? I mean, do you pay for that?
Yeah, I think
or?
Most people that will come to the seminar will know about it as soon as they sign up. And, you know, maybe we make it informal, like we just meet for coffee or something like that, and we'll have some breakfast here, and people can just bring their cases, their repertorizations, to see how they can be tightened up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very excellent thing to do because, like I said, you know, in my situation, it makes a huge amount of difference in your confidence.
Yeah. It's my experience, too, simply taking cases from the past and trying to restructure them. Can I ask how many people are listening still? Can you just make a sound?
I'm here.
Okay. So there really were just no questions. Everyone is really puzzled now, and no one knows what to ask.
Actually, I have a question. When you say your definition of characteristic was very good. I'm just wondering, are you saying that the entire Bönninghausen repertory is all it's structured that way? I didn't get the connection.
Yeah, for sure. It's structured that way. Especially, you find those characteristics, especially in the therapeutic pocketbook. But that would mostly be just for the generalities. So the criteria for Bönninghausen to include remedies in the rubrics in the therapeutic pocketbook would be based on how characteristic that information is. So based on a kind of frequency of the amount of times that he was confronted with that remedy in a specific situation that was a modality or a location or a phenomenon, etc. And except for that, he also, because of the degrees, of course, he kept track of how many times that for that remedy that rubric really helped, so how many cured cases he had based on his prescriptions. So you have what you see immediately is the degree system, which is 1 degree different than the Kantian system, and it has some space which in a Kantian repertory you don't have for a second degree, that is the Bönninghausen second degree, that simply lists those remedies that were found in the provings by two or more provers. So that's something that is unique to the Bönninghausen degree system. You don't find in Kant, but it's very good to have. And except for that, it's based on characteristics. But there is no numbering in the repertory to indicate how many times, how frequently something has been found. This is something that you just need to accept from Mr. Master Bönninghausen that it's true.
Okay,
is
well,
that,
it looks like we're...
Would that be a good answer, you understand?
Let me go ahead. Did that answer your question?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Are there any other questions that anybody would like to ask before we say goodbye?
Yes, I have a question.
Go ahead.
So with the newer remedies, have you, Roger, actually gone through and recreated this system, or are the newer remedies not treated in a similar way?
No, they are. It's the same thing. There is no difference. I have still not done all the newer provings, but I'm reasonably updated with everything. The good thing is that it's relatively easy in the way I work to make sure that all the remedies that deserve a place in these generalized characteristics are actually there. So you will find also remedies like chocolate, any of the newer snake provings, you name it. It's all there. With that restriction that I still have a year to go to be totally updated, and then after the year, you will find that there are, again, new provings, of course. So we are always a little bit behind, all the repertory makers are. But in general, you can say that what works for the old polygrasts and the information found in the therapeutic pocketbook also works now for all the later remedies. It's all updated.
Fantastic. Okay, so I think we're out of time. Let me just quickly mention again that Roger Van Zandvoort will be in Northern California May 15th and 16th in Tiburon, that's outside of San Francisco. And if you're interested in attending that seminar, you can contact toll-free 877-850-5078. If you have any chance of going to the seminar, please call and get more information. As I said earlier, I've heard tremendous feedback about the practical value of this seminar in terms of really giving you greater confidence in your own practice and really being able to use the repertory in such a way that you're able to help your patients with greater success. So I want everyone to just give Roger a very warm thank you. And,
yeah, you're welcome.
Yes, thank you again so much, Roger.
Okay. Take care,
everyone.
Roger.
Thank you, Roger.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.